Houston is hot, but the people are cool. You are in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast. Stick around, listen up. It's going to be great. Hello, H-Town. You're in Rhonda's Lounge listening to Artist of Houston podcast, where I get to talk with some of the cool people that are in the hot town and learn about what they do with their art, where they are, how they make it, where they sell it, where you can find them. We have a huge conglomerate of artists located in the Sawyer Yards Arts District, where the Winter Street building is located. That's me, 2101 Winter Street. Open every second Saturday, 12 to 5. You guys should definitely come out for that because it's very casual. It's, you know, people have a bottle of wine, a couple of light bites, but you can talk one-on-one with artists. If you are a serious art buyer, it is definitely a place to come where you can learn about what is going on with work. We have a big show coming up April 28th. It is our biannual. We will be benefiting a portion of the sales, benefiting Glasshouse School of Art, developing a scholarship fund. Super cool, but it is one of our big events. Today I'm going to be talking to Ms. Chris Silkwood. She is a resident of Winter Street Studios, where I'm located. She has one of those awesome studios that has the garage door to the dock, so you'll run into her studio first if you visit us on a second Saturday. Very nice, beautiful, big studio. She's usually in there working, cutting glass, doing her thing. From her website, I'll tell you that Chris has blended her training and creative instincts to develop a style that is uniquely her own. Her work is a study in classic mosaic with very contemporary styling. Her intention has always been to honor the ancient technique, but with a modern design application. I think that people are starting to listen to podcasts are going to really be interested in your podcast, especially because you've been around Winter Street for a minute.
Yeah, quite a few minutes.
Yeah. How long have you been here?
I've been here for 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like almost since the inception.
Yeah, I was a year after the originals, you know, came into the building.
Okay, so, fantastic. Yeah. That must have been such a fun time.
It was.
To get on board, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and it was different because I actually came over here with John Palmer, he's a well-known abstract artist, and he had invited me into a gallery that he had in the Heights, and not long after that, he decided to sell the building. Mm-hmm. So I said, let's go look at that Winter Street place, because I've lived in the Heights forever, and we did this candlelight dinner in the building here as a fundraiser for the Heights Association home tour. When that, the first floor was raw. It was just raw space. And John Deal was so cool and let us do this event that raised all kinds of money for restoration projects and beautification and all of that. And John and I came over here. We loved the space, but we wanted to be able to sell our art, to do retail out of the building, to have shows, receptions, and that really wasn't going on here at the time. So we, John agreed to that, and we had side-by-side studios, and we opened up a doorway between our studios so we could have combined shows. And we got a lot of criticism at first. Yeah, well, because, you know, if you're, I don't want to say truly a purist, but there were artists who just wanted to come and work and not deal with
Yeah.
And for us, it was, I want to make a living off of my art, so I have to be able to, you know, retail
that's
it.
Totally fine.
Yeah, yeah.
And purist, be true They do too, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Yes.
Even,
exactly.
I mean, you've got to eat. Even though I saw a picture of myself today when I was so skinny, and maybe I don't need to eat anymore.
I don't think so.
No, no.
That's not it.
Anyway, no, that sounds so exciting, and I'm sure I have that picture in my head of that candlelight dinner, and I can only imagine all the light bulbs going off for everybody.
Oh my gosh!
In the room,
yeah.
For all the things that could happen that have happened and are going to happen here. It's
yeah.
a really exciting place to be.
Yeah.
I mentioned your studio being one of the ones in the front at the dock.
Mm-hmm.
You work there a lot?
Yes. I am a full-time artist. Mm-hmm. So I do all of my work out of my studio. And I'm right on the first floor loading dock. I've got a cargo door that's open all the time that I'm here, so people are always welcome to, you know, wander in, even if the building isn't open. Thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
Very inviting.
Thank you.
I like it that people do work here. It's one
yes.
of the things I implore visitors, especially for Second Saturday, to make that effort, because there are artists working here, and it's
mm-hmm.
so cool.
It's true.
So let's back up a minute. Did you go to art school? Was that your beginning?
No.
Career.
No,
whatever.
My degree actually was in wellness and psychology.
Okay.
100 years
Very
ago.
Yeah.
And I had two very full careers before becoming a full-time artist.
Okay.
I worked in the health and fitness field
mm-hmm.
and ran resident spas in California and then here in Houston at the Houstonian. And then started actually consulting in the building of fitness centers, spa resorts,
mm-hmm.
sports medicine facilities.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did some great traveling with that. And because I had gained a lot of management experience in hiring staffs, developing programs, all of that, I then received a certification in what's called the Mastery of Coaching to do corporate training.
Okay.
So then my career evolved into that, where I worked on communication skills training, conflict resolution, building relationship,
mm-hmm.
and had the opportunity to work internationally. And
cool.
it was incredible.
Mm.
And then my husband was transferred. He's in construction engineering.
Mm-hmm.
Well, originally, we're both from Michigan.
Okay.
And so I graduated from Wayne State University
okay.
with a Bachelor of Science, nothing having to do with
art.
The arts, but I drew
I
my
gonna
whole
say, I
life.
I thought you were a child. All, yeah.
Yeah, I would come home from school and I would just draw and draw and draw.
Uh-huh.
Always had an interest in art, even in, you know, designing home decor,
mm-hmm.
all of that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the evolution of it was really interesting, because we got transferred to Australia, and we had just adopted our son.
Mm-hmm.
He's now 22 years old, but we adopted him in Russia and then moved to Australia for a corporate
oh, okay.
transfer for my husband. And I was really a fish out of water. You know,
yeah.
and it was like, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to do now?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually I started doing my corporate training again there, but I also, when we flew into the international airport in Brisbane, I saw the most gorgeous mosaic floor inlays I had ever seen in my life. They were modern, yet they reflected the Aboriginal culture, which in and of itself is an amazing culture,
yeah.
and Aboriginal art is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So I did some research, found out who did that work, and
wow.
it was a group of women that had a studio in a 100-year-old building very close to where we were living. And I took a chance.
Wow, the universe.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
And so I called and I said, would you consider taking on a student? And they did. And I became their only student and studied with them intensely for 3 years.
Wow.
And they were masters. I mean, it was such an opportunity. And then when we came back to the States, I went to Italy, to Ravenna, and did a study there. But by that time, I had already honed into what my style was going to be in the glass mosaic realm.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
You had, you went to the river for the, I mean, the sources for the training, it sounds like.
Yes,
you really
yes.
got some, well, clearly your work is masterful.
Thank you.
And you have so many ideas, too. So many, you've translated it into so many things. It's very
yeah,
cool.
It's
even
fun.
Community sculpture. You have some sculptures in, on the Heights.
I did. Uh-huh. I had a large sculpture that I collaborated with Keith Crane, who's works in steel, on the Esplanade of Heights Boulevard, and then some in other locations.
How would something like that get born? Do you have a design in your head or? You know, how does that happen?
Yeah, and I get asked this question, you know, what's your inspiration? And without sounding overly simplistic, it is literally the world around me. I think I probably dream in mosaic, you know?
Oh, I know.
And so I'll see things. I might even be leafing through a magazine and see fabric samples and think about how can I translate that into, you know, mosaic. And I work primarily in glass, and but I use hundreds of different kinds of materials so that it isn't flat. It has multiple depths to it, which makes it a lot harder to do, especially when you're cleaning and polishing toward the end, and you got to get into all these crevices and so forth.
What's the history of painting of a mosaic? See, you're making me think about painting because you're talking about transparencies and opaqueness of certain glasses, I think, for giving it the depths that you're talking about, correct?
Yes. So well, the Byzantine glass, I mean, that goes back into ancient times. That's a multi-hundred year old art. If you go, you know, to Europe and you go to the churches in Italy and many other places, you see the mosaic that they did. Now, a lot of that was done in stone.
Okay.
And the process for, you know, breaking those little pieces and then what they would set them in to set it up so that it would last and so forth. And over time, it evolved.
Okay.
And glass is somewhat of a new medium for mosaic, but it still has a history. And my goal has always been to honor the ancient technique of doing mosaic little pieces at a time, but to really bring it into the 21st century, modernize it into freestanding sculptures and wall hangings and all of that sort of thing that really has a modern feel to it, but can still fit into any kind of decor.
Oh yeah, no, you've been successful in that endeavor for sure. Yeah, I was thinking it predates painting is what I'm thinking.
Well, or, you know, it probably does.
Yeah,
I don't know that for sure, but it probably does because, again, when you visit these cathedrals and so forth, and even in places like Ravenna, which is somewhat of a sinking city like Venice, they have to unearth some of these floors. The fire department comes in every year and they have to pump out the water in some of the lower lying areas. And then, you know, there is this floor again that's unbelievable.
Unreal.
It's unbelievable.
How did you learn about the Italian school or the place to study in Italy?
I had a friend that had learned about it, and she said, would you consider, her name is Kath Conlon. She owns the Blackwood Educational Land Institute out in the Hempstead direction, and is quite an artist herself and in so many different kinds of mediums. And she said, would you consider, you know, going? And I said, absolutely.
Oh,
we
cool.
did some research on it. And at the time.
Because this is before the internet, too. So
if you
if you wanted to learn something even 15 years ago, and there was no school in Houston in the Yellow Books, in the Yellow Pages, The yellow books.
Yes.
Remember those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I sure do.
And if it wasn't in there, then there was a chance you might not be able to know about it. I mean, unless
right.
you got a
word of mouth or
exactly. Mm-hmm. And so it's I think pretty miraculous that you had that
mm-hmm.
exposure
mm-hmm.
and those connections and networking that happens.
So, yeah, that's true. I mean,
wonderful.
The greatest gift mm-hmm. for my learning was my 3 years in Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, to learn directly from these masters, and they were working in glass and tile combinations.
Okay.
And so it was really much more relevant to what I wanted to do. The Ravenna experience was incredible and wonderful,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't alter the style that
had,
I wanted
okay,
to.
Where you were going.
Yeah. And I literally did the work out of my garage for
mm-hmm.
a while and had a show at my house, and people came and pieces sold, and I thought, well, maybe,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe this is the start of mm-hmm. another career. My son was very young at the time. I wanted to be very present in his life. I couldn't do the international, you know, traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So I completely dissolved my practice as a trainer and
mm-hmm.
consultant to do the art full time,
mm-hmm.
and I've never looked back.
No, you, yeah.
You know.
You've been very successful.
I've been very fortunate.
And the presence in Winter Street has been another catapult, I think, for your
oh,
career.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
To be in a building where the public is welcome,
mm-hmm.
they can come into our studios, speak with the artists, study our mediums, learn more about it. I mean, people, adults and kids come in and they go through my containers of glass and they're so fascinated with it, and I
mm-hmm.
and I love that.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
great. It's a good experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just it's interactive.
Yes.
You can make it as interactive. And hopefully that's what people will do
uh-huh.
is come in and talk to us and get to know us. There's nothing. I seriously have had my feelings hurt when people come to the door and don't come in.
And don't come
like,
in.
Come
I know.
In,
I'll say you can come in. It's
yes,
okay.
It's okay. You do have the wonderful garage door when we have the nice weather coming up,
yeah.
especially, and it's hopefully a little bit more inviting for people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I wish I had a garage door right here. Just
yeah,
open the
it's
door.
Nice to have
like,
it.
Come on in. So people should definitely check out our Second Saturdays. You are here every second Saturday.
I am here every
mm-hmm.
second Saturday, and I'd also like to mention that I have a solo exhibition.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes.
Tell us all about it.
It's so exciting.
Oh, good.
It is put on by the Brookfield organization. Brookfield is a very large office management company, and they're worldwide.
Okay.
And they have offices here in Houston, and they brought in Sally Reynolds, who is the curator of curators. She is such a magnificent woman
mm-hmm.
and knows so much about putting together a large, you know, show and so forth. She came to my studio, saw my work, and said, I've never done a mosaic exhibition, and these exhibitions are done in major buildings like the Total Plaza building downtown
okay.
on Dallas in Louisiana, Heritage Plaza, One Allen Center, so
mm-hmm.
they're around. And she said, I'd like to give you a solo exhibition. Well, I nearly passed out, you know,
great.
And actually when she left my studio, I had a good cry of
oh,
just tears of joy, you
sweet.
Know, because
yes.
I mean, it was very exciting
yes.
and a big deal. So I worked for gosh, over 4 months putting this show together. It's in the Total Plaza building, literally right at the corner of Dallas and Louisiana,
mm-hmm.
super easy to get there. It's open Monday through Friday
mm-hmm.
from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's on the first floor.
Okay.
You can see it because it's surrounded by glass. You can see it walking down the
sweet.
Sidewalk. There's
how
no
long,
charge.
How long will it be hanging?
Until the 14th of May.
Oh, sweet.
May 14th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I got a flyer the other day, so it's on my to-do list.
Oh, good.
I want to go check it out.
Yeah.
I think it's fabulous you got a venue like that. That's
it's
amazing.
It's exciting to have
yeah.
a venue like that.
Yeah.
So,
so
know.
Very good. We have something coming up here in the Sawyer Yards, a collaboration show. But you had a collaborative show a couple years ago where you joined with, was it just Winter Street Artists?
It was primarily Winter Street Artists,
Tell me about that, because I remember that show and all those pieces were really dynamic.
Yeah, it was extra special. I did the show because I wanted to honor Van McFarland.
Oh, okay.
And Van is the artist whom you know.
He's here.
He is. Yeah. He is here. Van was one of the original artists to Winter Street. Mm-hmm. He was a great artist, and he was a great guy.
Okay.
And he was such a participant. He did all kinds of things in schools with kids with art, putting shows on here in our Winter Street Gallery. And he always participated in the shows that we would have when mm-hmm. we had open studios.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he passed away very suddenly at mm-hmm. the age of 48, mm-hmm. unexpectedly from a brain aneurysm. And I really wanted to honor him. So I invited 12 artists to do a show called 1213. And we did it in the gallery here. And I collaborated with 12 different artists. And no one had collaborated before. I had with John Palmer and other people. So it was a stretch for mm-hmm. everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And these pieces just turned out to be so extraordinary and so special. And they were very popular. And we did a catalog and had Van's picture up and a testimonial, you know, to honor him in that show. And so when the Artist Advisory Committee here at Winter Street, and through your efforts with the women of Winter Street, decided mm-hmm. to do a collaboration show, I'm like, yay.
Yeah.
And this show is going to be so cool.
It's going to be
cool. May 12th,
yeah.
We'll have a reception. And it's going to be very exciting. It's a don't miss it show.
May 12th.
Yeah.
I agree. Even though I don't have my pieces ready.
That's okay. You've got time.
Back to your collaboration, the 1213. Is there a way for anyone to see it? Is it on your website? Is it recorded?
You know, I still have some catalogs.
Uh-huh.
I think there may be some pieces from it on my website.
Yeah. I know you sold a lot.
We sold them all. They were all placed.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
But I thought it was so interesting because a lot of it was extremely complimentary to the artists that you collaborated with. Like, you played off of each other's
mm-hmm.
Techniques and style. And I think that's what, it was a win-win, like, all over. As far as the actual work goes. And I'm convinced that that's what this will be coming up for
us. Have no doubt.
I'm super stoked. I just better get to work.
Yes.
What about you?
I have one finished.
Okay.
I collaborated with Ellen Orzak, who teaches at Rice University, and she's a Winter Street artist. And then I'm also doing one with Taft McWhorter, who's been in the building for a very long time.
Sweet.
He's an abstract painter, and I haven't started that one yet.
Okay. So it's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah. Well, I'm working on it. I'm trying.
You'll get it done.
We've got our biannual April 28th, which is the other thing,
mm-hmm.
To get ready for our big show, which we encourage everyone to come out mm-hmm. for. It's 4 to 9. And I swept the floor. Just, every 3 months. I'm ahead of the game.
Got some flowers,
some dead flowers. But we do spruce up and get dressed up and have a really good time. I will be benefiting Glassell.
Yes,
the scholarship.
Yes.
So we got a lot of good things coming. So they're all good, but it's like, busy.
It is busy with Second Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
The spring biannual, the collaboration event.
Yeah.
But it's a lot for people to look forward to.
That's
so get it on your calendar.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, Chris, if you could talk to your younger self, what would you say as far as art goes? I mean, because you did have these other careers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, obviously, it all works out. It's fine. But is there any advice you would give to your younger self?
You know, I think the important thing is for people to just keep the window open, that window of possibility. As I look back, I loved each of those careers and enjoyed successes with them. I have to say, being an artist, you know, as Joseph Campbell spoke about so eloquently, is my bliss.
Yeah.
Now, would I have started it earlier? Probably not. I don't know that I was ready. And having had the experience in Australia is what gave me the training to give me the confidence to actually do this. But the important thing, because a lot of people will come to our building and they'll say, you know, I'm in this job, I really don't like the job, I'd rather be making jewelry, or I'd rather be painting, or I'd rather do something else. Always hold that possibility open, because I think if you don't, you miss potential opportunities that come your way.
Right.
You know, paying the bills, yes, we've all got to pay the bills. We've got to eat, we've got to feed our kids, we've got to do all that.
Yeah.
But just keep that window open to possibility. And do things on a part-time basis and start connecting, you know, with people in the area that you want to be in.
I agree. Keep a corner of the kitchen all for your art. If that's all you have, that's totally fine. Do that. Because, I mean, especially if you want to do something that does require a lot of know-how. I mean, you couldn't have ever done that without that trip.
Oh,
that
absolutely.
And those, that sounds like an amazing, have you been back to Australia for that?
You know, we haven't. We're talking about going back again, because we still have friends that we communicate with and stay in touch with. They've come here to visit us. So I'm sure we'll go back again.
Yeah, I think you should go back.
It's an amazing place. It's
just
so amazing.
I've never been.
Yeah.
I need to go.
Yeah.
They speak English there.
Oh, yes, they do. And they love Texans.
And have a head. I'd have a head start, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes. People don't understand my English.
Say y'all. They like y'all. And
okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Putting shrimp on the Barbie and,
Sweet. It sounds great.
It is great.
I had looked into being a nurse traveler in New Zealand. Apparently
they
do a lot of recruiting for New Zealand.
Yes.
I don't know why, but
for teachers, nursing, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's totally extraordinary. Now, you gotta love sheep, because there's like 5 sheep for every
person.
One person, I think.
Wow.
But it is spectacularly beautiful.
I'll tell you an interesting little piece of nothing information. Since you mentioned sheep, I did do some goat, ram, sheep paintings a while back, and I didn't realize they have rectangular shaped pupils. Did you ever notice?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So next time you see one of those sheep or goats, you'll be like, how did I not realize that beforehand?
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I have to go look at a goat up close.
We're going to find one. Okay,
yeah, sure.
Go to the zoo. You can go to the zoo.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Chris, I appreciate you coming to have a conversation with me. It was very interesting.
Thank you.
We can keep going. We can probably talk forever.
Oh, I know. It's fun.
But I'm going to tell everyone to go visit you and talk to you themselves at our second Saturday, 12 to 5.
Yep.
This tomorrow is 1.
And I'll have cookies.
Oh. Great.
Yeah.
The podcast will not air for that one, but maybe next month.
Next time.
Yes. But second Saturday is 12 to 5 and April 28th. And please go see Chris's show downtown at the corner of Louisiana and Dallas.
In the Total Plaza.
Total Plaza. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal. Gotta check it out. Up till May 14th.
14th.
And we will have our collaborative show May 12th. And I'll look forward to seeing your pieces with Taff and
Eleanor's.
Ellen!
Mm-hmm.
Ellen's.
And I will look forward to seeing yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you coming.
Thank you, Rhonda.
Wasn't that amazing? Thank you, Chris Silkwood. You are fantastic. Please visit Chris's studio downstairs. I don't think we mentioned her studio number once, but she is in the front on the east side of the building. She will have her garage door open for second Saturdays, 12 to 5. And go see her show downtown. Really, really appreciate you being here. Thank you so very much. Take care.